Happy Sabbath, brethren. How are you doing, Shalomites? Blessed and fabulously favored. I like that. First things first, I must thank you. Over the years, I've been passing through the United States every summer. Shalom has shown me so much love that it is quite impossible to ignore. And I must thank you for the love you continue to show me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Second, I must thank Pastor Brown for always being there, not only to encourage, but to offer the opportunity to spread God's word to the Shalomites. Somebody say amen.
Amen,
amen the 2 weeks. Say amen again.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, somebody. Third, I am grateful for looking down in the congregation and seeing many, many faces that I know. Family members, not directly, but indirectly and in Jesus Christ. Family members that I know. And if you are used to coming up here, when you look down and don't see any familiar face, it can be a little frightening. But when you look down and see familiar faces, it eases the burden. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the message for us today is very serious. And it is my intention to tell you what I need to tell you without having you sitting here for too long. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I thought the amen would have been there indeed. So let us talk to God and then get down to business. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for granting us another awesome privilege to enter your courts to give you praise. Now it's time for you to talk to us. Do so now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be fruitful and multiply. What did I say?
Fruitful and multiply.
Be fruitful and multiply. Before the Ten Commandments were ever carved in stone, before the law was handed down to Moses on the mountain, before prophets raised their voices, before Psalms was written and sung, before the temple was built, God spoke a word that was never revoked. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." Now, whenever we hear this verse, automatically we think of one thing. And what is that?
Children.
Be fruitful and multiply within the context of having children. If it is that you always think that, you are right. Because after all, that's how the earth was populated and is still being populated. However, today, we are going to look at that passage from a different perspective. Jesus understood that God's heart was never just about filling the earth with bodies. God's heart was always about filling the earth with image bearers. What did I say? Image bearers. Men and women who know him, reflect him, and reproduce his character in and to others. God wanted his garden to become a garden city, and that city to stretch much further than Eden. When Jesus stood before his disciples on the Galilean hillside after his resurrection, he said to them, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Matthew 28, verse 19. When this was said, he wasn't launching something new. He was restoring something original. Something that we are looking at today from a different perspective. Go Be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
We're going to look at this through four situations, through 4 points today. Point number one, understanding the fruitfulness that God desires. What did I say? Understanding the fruitfulness that God desires. In John chapter 15, Jesus was in the upper room on the night before his crucifixion. Of all the things that he could have spoken of, he told them, John chapter 15, verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." I need to tell you something. If you want me to tell you, say, mm-hmm. Fruit and discipleship are not separate things. Let me say that again. Fruit and discipleship are not separate things.
Amen.
The proof that you are a disciple of Christ is that you bear fruit.
Amen.
So if you are not bearing any fruit, what does that automatically mean? The fruit he's talking about here is not just love, joy, peace, etc. The context of John chapter 15 is in the context of abiding in him, loving one another, and making his name known. The fruit Jesus had in mind at that time is the reproduction of his life in others. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We know the rest. A fruitful life is a Christ-shaped life. And a Christ-shaped life, by its very nature, is magnetic. What that means, it draws others to it. Therefore, if your life is not drawing anyone to it, one of the most sobering moments in the Gospels is when Jesus cursed the fig tree. The tree was full of leaves. It looked alive. It looked reproductive. It looked like it had a lot of fruit. But there was none there. Some of us are like that fig tree. Full of activity, full of religious performance, full of Sabbath morning leaves, but no fruit. No one is being discipled. No one is being drawn to us. No one is being led closer to Christ because of our influence. No lives are transformed by our investment. Because we ain't got no investment. God is not looking for leaves. He is looking for fruit. Real fruit. Fruit that contains seeds and the capacity to reproduce. That was point number one. Point number two. The mandate to multiply. The mandate to multiply. We have domesticated salvation. What does that mean? That means we treat it like personal possession. Like a child who gets a new toy and is always at war with his sibling because he does not want his sibling to play with his new toy. His new toy is for him and him alone. We have domesticated salvation. Now, while salvation is deeply personal, it was never meant to be private. What does that mean? Salvation is personal. It's between you and God. But it should never be private where it's an issue for you to tell somebody else. The moment Jesus saves you, he drafted you.
Yes.
Drafted you for what, you may be thinking?
Service.
Matthew 28:19-20.
Yes.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations,
yes,
baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. You know what happens after that. Now, whenever you see the word therefore, something comes before it. Are we on the same page?
Amen.
Why we cannot get into that right now? Something is before therefore. So when you have some time, go and take in what happened before that that led Jesus to say this. But for right now, we're looking at this mandate. The word go is a active participle. In Greek, it is rendered as you are going. Let's say that again. The word go is an active word. In Greek, it denotes as you are going. In other words, as you are going, as you are living, as you go day by day, make disciples of all nations. Jesus wasn't only speaking to missionaries crossing oceans. He was speaking to every believer, every moment of your life, every possibility you get. As you go to work, as you go to school, as you stop by the market, as you smile at someone who is obviously not doing so well, that's an opportunity to make a disciple. Discipleship is not a program, it's a posture.
Amen.
If you can't say amen, say ouch. Amen. Discipleship is not a program, it's a posture. It's the way a Jesus follower moves through the world.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul is one of the greatest examples of discipleship multiplication in the New Testament. He didn't just preach. He poured himself into people. Barnabas discipled Paul. Paul discipled Timothy. And the list go on. So one discipled the other and the other discipled the other. In other words, tell a friend who will tell a friend who will tell another friend until we are all friends.
Amen.
That's how discipleship should work.
Yes.
There is an epidemic in the modern church. We have raised generation of consumers. People who come to receive, and that's it. They never invest. So they come, accept salvation, enjoy it, and don't give it to nobody else. In plain Jamaican terms, they mean. They sit under teaching for years, but they never teach. They receive mentorship, but never mentor. This is madness. Imagine an organism that only takes in nutrients but never reproduce. We would call it a disease, and such a disease would be terminal. In spiritual context, we have adopted this terminal illness that must be dealt with immediately. The command is not just to be fruitful. The command was, be fruitful and multiply. Point number three. How discipleship multiplication should happen. How discipleship multiplication should happen. Follow me carefully now.
Yes.
Jesus did not accidentally make disciples. He was strategic. He looked over the crowd of followers following him, and he chose 12. We may call that his outer circle. Within the 12, he invested in 3, Peter, James, and John. Can call that the inner circle. He didn't give the same depth of investment to everyone. He was intentional about how he poured his life and where he poured his life. Why is this important? We cannot disciple everybody. It is basically impossible to disciple everybody. But we can disciple at least one.
Yes.
We can disciple at least one.
Amen.
The question is not, do I have the capacity to disciple the world? The question is, who has God placed in front of me that I should invest in?
Yes.
It might be a younger believer in the church. It might be a colleague who has just given their life to Christ. And remember now, you are just coming out of an evangelistic series, which means there are babes and sucklings now in the church.
Amen.
So discipleship could very well be to take on one of those babes and sucklings and mentor them throughout this timeline. Because all new converts within the hearing of my voice, you have now assigned an enemy to you who will come at you with every single dart that he can find to muster up. And let me protect myself just in case I see a bottle or something coming at me. One of the weapons he may form against you may very well be the same Adventist in this room.
Amen. Amen.
And the enemy knows exactly what to use to get to us. Because if we're being frank about this, the enemy knows us better than we know ourselves. Because he's been observing us for years. And while I am getting a little stricken in age and the memory is going, his memory is perfect. So he remembers and he sees everything. So he knows what to use to get to you. But even if the weapon formed against you is in this room, the word of God said the weapon may form, but it will never prosper.
Amen.
Jesus made disciples by living with them, ate together, traveled together, grieved together, celebrate together. Discipleship did not happen primarily in formal teaching sessions, though those are important too. But it also happened in ordinary spaces shared in life. Discipleship may not just happen when you get to church and you're formally sitting upstairs. Discipleship can happen over a WhatsApp call, late at night, when the turmoil of life is beating you pretty bad. And the enemy is leaning on you and tell you, don't bother go to church next week. That's only going to make it worse.
Yeah.
Just stay home, man. The bed is comfortable. Just stay home and sleep. And watch it online. And one Sabbath turn into two Sabbath turn into 3 Sabbath. And before you know it, the church not see you in 6 months. Because the enemy loves to isolate us.
Yeah.
And that makes his targets stronger. So when it is that we don't see a church brother or a church sister in a little while, take up your phone, call, send a text, something. From personal experience, you have no idea what that can do for somebody. It cannot be that the person has been out for 6 months and there is nobody in the entire sanctuary who has ever called or messaged the person to check up on them.
Perfect.
What kind of discipleship you're going on with? Discipleship requires proximity.
Yes.
I am not saying you should all be besties. That's not what I'm saying. But as Jesus did it, some form of friendship must be done. Get close to people so you can help them within the context of discipleship. Are we together?
Yes.
Part 4. Point number 4. The glory behind the command. Why is God so careful, so caught up about multiplication? Why is his first command to humanity was to be fruitful and multiply? Simple. That is because God is a father. And the father's heart is always oriented toward increase. God is not building institution. He is building his family. And families grow. More than that, God's glory is at stake. Jesus said in John chapter 15, 8, that when we bear much fruit, the Father is glorified. When a new soul is discipled into the fullness of Christ, when someone who was lost finds their way, when a life is transformed and that transformed life begins to transform others, heaven breaks out into applause because the nature of God is being reflected throughout the earth. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's the destination. A world saturated with the knowledge of God. Not just churches on street corners filled with bodies, but lives that are walking, breathing, and reproducing testimonies in the glory and grace of Jesus Christ. And every single one of us in this room, and if we are streaming online, is called to be a part of this. And let me pause and add something right here, so before I conclude, because I told you I wasn't going to be long. We must understand that not everybody is equipped with the motivation, equipped with the gift, equipped with everything that comes with standing up here to preach. We understand that not everybody can sing. Everybody can raise a joyful noise, but not everybody can sing. We understand that most people don't have the courage to go out in the train station, to go out on the avenues, and to lift your voice to preach. We understand that. But you can slip a note with a Bible text to somebody. You can buy some books and give to somebody. You can smile. You know how powerful a smile is? I want everybody to smile. Everybody smile. See what I'm talking about? And sometimes people are going through hard days, and a smile warms their heart. A compliment, an encouraging word. We have smartphones with data. Send out some messages. Don't have the time to write it yourself. There is ChatGPT. There is Claude. Use it up. Put you have Gemini. You have so much of them. Put a little thought together. Focus with a little theme. And send that out. We have no idea what that can do for somebody. That's what discipleship is. It doesn't have to be complex. It can be that simple. So let us wrap this up. And I can sit down. Let us go back to the Garden of Eden for a moment. God placed two people in a garden and told them to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth. The garden was not the destination. It was the beginning. The life that started there was supposed to spread outward, further and further, until the whole world looked like Eden. That was the plan. Sin interrupted that plan and messed it up, and then Jesus restored it. Through the cross, through the resurrection, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God is relaunching the original mission. He's calling a people who will be carriers of life. People in whom the garden of God's presence is growing. And he's sending them to the ends of the earth. The question for us today is not whether God issued the command. He did. The question is if we are willing to obey.
Amen.
That's it.
Yes.
Will you be someone who simply exists in church, taking up bench space and consuming the resources? Or are you willing to be someone who multiplies? Will you look around at the people of God that God has placed in your life and ask, who is God calling me to walk with? Who needs someone to invest in them the way someone invested in me? The harvest is plenty, but workers are few. The harvest is ready, but God is not waiting on just more preachers to do it. He's waiting on more disciples. He's waiting for more people who understand that the command, be fruitful and multiply, is still in effect within the context of discipleship. And he is desiring us to go. So, let us do what our Father asked us to do. Go. Be fruitful and multiply.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come back up. I'm going to ask the singing men to come back up here. Help me with the appeal. Last week at the tent, we didn't finish yet. Brethren, this is when our preacher today called and said that the group is available to sing, I said, you're going to preach also. The message today is a fitting one. God is not looking for leaves. He's looking for fruit. He's not looking so much for preachers, but for disciples. God wants to duplicate himself. God wants to duplicate himself in the world. And he needs you and I in order to assist him. And if we are truly doing his work, we wouldn't have room in this church to sit down each Sabbath. would need to move from this building to a new location. And so, as we sing this song this morning, they don't know which song they're going to sing. Huh? That's fine. Go ahead with that. Oh, I realize these men are younger than me. I'm sorry. I was going back to 1970, but they are in the 90s. Sorry for that.
That's all right.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals,
we are each
waiting.
We are each prayerfully praying, prayerfully asking God what He wants me to do, what He wants each of us to do. So we are praying as they're singing.
Come home,
come home,
come home,
come home.
You are weary, come.
Let's bow your heads with me. Father, this morning we have heard your call to your manservant, the Daskele Martin, a teacher, singer, evangelist. Father, we pray that we will be open to your Holy Spirit continually. I place this church in your hands. I place myself and each of us today in your hands. Father, show us how we can be co-laborers with you in multiplying or duplicating your image on this earth. And may we begin with those closest to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
dwells in him is hymn 253, There's No Other Name Like Jesus. Shall we stand? There's no other name like Jesus. It's the dearest name we know. 'Tis the angels' joy in heaven. 'Tis the Christian's joy below. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. There's no other name like Jesus. When the heart with grief is sad, there's no other name like Jesus. When the heart is free and glad, sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. The hope that I shall see him when in glory he appears. 'Tis the hope to hear his welcome that my fainting spirit cheers.